It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Thursday, October 10th. I'm Patricia Naft. Mesa County has a new district attorney. KVNF's Laura Palmisano reports.
Governor John Hickenlooper appointed Dan Rubenstein to the post. He's currently a deputy district attorney for Mesa County. He'll take over for Pete Hautzinger, who's accepted a federal job. Hautzinger can't run again due to term limits and will head the U.S. Attorney's Office in Grand Junction. Rubenstein has worked for the DA's office for 16 years. He says he wanted to succeed Hautzinger, so his appointment just speeds up the process.
I've been wanting to be the district attorney for quite some time. I think it's a very important job. It's a job that requires a lot of skill, a lot of training, and I certainly have big shoes to fill. You know, Pete did a fantastic job, and I want to follow in the work he did and some of the policies and new and innovative techniques we're using.
Rubenstein will complete the remainder of Hautzinger's term that ends in 2017. After that, he says he plans on running for district attorney. For KVNF, I'm Laura Palmisano.
The Montrose City Council is fast-tracking its new dispatch center, and time constraints are forcing the city to cut a few corners. KVNF's Jake Ryan reports.
Over the past few months, an ever-widening divide between the city and Montrose County formed, resulting in the city dropping the county's dispatch center and deciding to create their own 911 call center. Before they could do that, though, they need to build it. At this week's meeting, they started looking at companies to take that on. Stryker and Company Incorporated were chosen for the cost of about $500,000. What made this all a little unusual was that there was no bidding process. Stryker was the only company considered. Not everyone was happy with that. Katie McClellan is with Ridgeway Valley Enterprises, another contractor based in Montrose.
So I'm asking the council to table the issue and look more into depth on why this is being sole sourced. It's a $500,000 job. There are businesses that would like this job. In my opinion, the city of Montrose hasn't proven why it would be given to Stryker and Company.
Councilmember Bob Nicholson stressed that time was of the essence.
We are up against an extremely complex issue in terms of time and ability to develop a set of plans to produce this facility. Frankly, it is an emergency situation in my view.
The reason there's such a time crunch is because the county's dispatch center, which is run by the Montrose Sheriff, has told them that if they're going to leave, they're going to leave when the sheriff tells them.
We were advised by the county sheriff that if there was any organization that felt they wanted to make other arrangements, they would allow up to 18 months from the point that we had rejected their contract. That situation appears to have changed dramatically and has put us in a completely different position.
Nichols says that the bidding process could take up to 2 months, and Stryker's already on site and working with the city on other projects. The hope is that everything will be done on time. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Governor John Hickenlooper wants Colorado to reevaluate the use of American Indian mascots and names in public schools. He signed an executive order on Tuesday creating a commission to study the issue. Benta Berkland has more.
Hickenlooper says American Indian names and images are often offensive and dishonor the ongoing legacy of American Indians. The executive order aims to get communities and American Indians talking about the issue. Two efforts to ban and phase out American Indian mascots have failed at the State House. Democratic Representative Joe Salazar of Thornton sponsored a bill last session that would have penalized schools for using the names. He praised the executive order.
The whole purpose behind the executive order is to educate one another about American Indians. It's ushering in a new era of communication,
which Salazar hopes will lead to change. About 40 schools use American Indian mascots, mostly in rural parts of the state. Supporters of the mascots want to preserve local traditions and are concerned about the costs of changing names and mascots. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
Oil and gas regulators in Colorado are proposing a new set of rules that would give local governments more say over drilling operations. The draft rules released Tuesday require engagement with local officials before applying for a large site drilling permit from the state. Matt Richman reports for our Inside Energy project that some towns in Colorado are already way ahead of the state on this.
In the early 2000s, the Weld County town of Erie had just about 12,000 residents. But the open fields and farmlands of this Front Range community have been converted to housing developments fast. The population is now 22,000 and expected to triple by 2050. and scattered across that urbanizing landscape are oil production sites and places where more drilling is planned. Town trustee Jennifer Carroll is at a coffee shop on the edge between what's already developed and what's to be developed. She says up until recently, there wasn't much they could do to control new oil and gas drilling.
The only thing we would regulate is fence color, what material the fence was, and then the road going from our main roads to their site. It has to be paved for a certain amount and then like gravel.
But on their own, Erie found a way to change that. First, a couple years ago, they created a memorandum of understanding on increased setbacks with the main driller working here, Encana Oil and Gas. And after problems with noise and vibrations at one drilling site, the town and operator negotiated another agreement that was approved this August. Carroll was one of the town's negotiators.
When we would get into the details of here's how we want you to solve the problem, that would kind of stir things up and make them more standoffish. But when we stepped back and said, here's the problem our residents see and here's what we want to fix, what do you suggest?
They got a 5-year drilling plan mapping out Encana's 8 future drilling sites and a requirement that the company give 90 days notice to the town and public before an application is submitted to the state. They got decreased noise limits, more routine leak monitoring, and 1,000-foot setbacks from buildings, all of which go beyond current state regulations.
So I think we, in some shape or form, got everything we were looking for.
Those contractual arrangements between operators and local governments, we support fully.
That's Matt Lepore, director of the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. The commission's draft rules don't go into the same level of specifics that Erie negotiated with Encana. But they do say local officials will have input into the locations of large well sites and best practices if they want it.
Local governments feel that operators tend to come to COGCC and get a permit and then go to the local government and say, see, we have a permit, so you don't have as much say-so as you might want to have. We're trying to change that calculus a little bit.
The new rules come out of an oil and gas task force set up by Governor John Hickenlooper last year. They came up with 9 recommendations. The others deal with regulatory staffing, transparency, and emissions monitoring.
I mean, these rules are going to be, like all of our rules, a process of a public, open process. And in my experience, nobody gets everything they want.
We are at the playing field of Northridge High School, and this is the Kelly Farms well site.
Carl Erickson is one person who won't get what he wants from the new rules. He's with a local nonprofit critical of the state's regulations. He points to a production site on the edge of the playing field and up against a housing development.
It doesn't belong here. It's not conducive with why we have communities to begin with.
He wants mandated 1,000-foot setbacks from all structures and no drilling at all in heavily populated areas. The state's new rules on local involvement, as written, will only apply to large operations within urban areas. The COGCC will take comments on the proposed rules during a series of stakeholder meetings this month, and then the final rules are expected in November. For Inside Energy, I'm Matt Richmond.
Inside Energy is a public media collaboration focusing on America's energy issues. For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.